Here's what we believe at Daleville Christian Church. This affirmation of our faith found in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 8. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. The reading for today from God's Word is from the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The first 7 verses, as the apostle addresses the congregation. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. May the Lord add to the reading of His Word, His blessing. One of the largest churches in America used to start worship with everyone getting their hands on a Bible and saying, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God." We almost always pray. Well, actually, we always pray before the message. So let's pray. Lord, your Holy Spirit be upon those who hear, that they may receive the blessing you desire for them, because we know that you do want to bless those who hear your word, those who seek you through your word, that you help them to receive the blessing and the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are going to talk about money, but relax, we are not going to talk about your money. And it's a short sermon today. Tell your friends. Some of the top issues in media today include the middle class in America. Many say the middle class is shrinking or even under attack, but politicians want to strengthen the middle class. At least that is what they say. Some talk about reviving the middle class. And despite all the talk about the middle class, National Geographic has done a 5-part, 5-issue topic about food in America, and particularly about hunger in America. Now, we know that the Bible talks about money. The Bible talks about money a lot. How much? There are 2,300 verses in the Bible on money. 15% of what Jesus said had to do with possessions. There are 56 places in the Bible that talk about offerings. Gifts are also listed in an additional 25 places in Scripture. And in addition to that, the Bible mentions the poor or poor people over 150 times. Proverbs 31:9 clearly states, "Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy." Widows are mentioned over 80 times, and orphans or the fatherless are mentioned over 40 times. These two classes of people, orphan and widow, were considered those in the most dire economic circumstances. They were the poorest of the poor with no resources at all. And as much as we do know about Jesus' times, we often don't know this. What was it like? What was the ancient world like? We know there were poor people, but how many poor people? For the ancient Roman world, Roman economic historians, and imagine there are such things as Roman economic historians today, Roman economic historians debate whether 99% or 96% of the population lived at the subsistence level. They lived hand to mouth. Their lives were dominated by the struggle for physical survival, and they spent their lives primarily concerned with obtaining the minimum food, the minimum shelter, and minimum clothing necessary to sustain their lives. And Judea, the land of Jesus, was considered an even poorer part of the Roman Empire. Beggars are described in the New Testament, and widows and orphans, as I mentioned earlier, are also there in the New Testament. Now, today we will not solve the problem of poverty, not in this message, not in this time frame, and probably not this week or this month, and probably not this year. Jesus said that the poor would always be with us. Poverty and the poor would be a fact of life as we live here east of Eden, living in the real world. Jesus had an Old Testament concern for the poor, the orphan, and the widow. When Jesus raised a widow's son from the dead, I believe the text tells us he was an only son of this widow, Jesus wasn't just reviving a loved one for the widow. Jesus wasn't just restoring a loved one for the widow. It said Jesus had compassion for her. Jesus was restoring a way of life to this woman. Jesus was restoring a source of income for this widow. And yet, Jesus also was concerned that wealth got in the way of spiritual life and development. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom, Jesus said. This came as a shock to the disciples. Many people tried to make money as proof that God was saving them and blessing them, and people today still believe that. If you are doing well financially, then God is blessing you, we believe and we say. But the disciples were shocked when Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were so shocked that the disciples cried out, "Who then can be saved?" So what do we think about rich people? What do we think about poor people? And is America really different than Jesus' day and time and land? What does the Bible say? So what did Jesus say? Jesus tells a story about a farmer who got rich. But Jesus tells a story so that we know the farmer didn't get rich through any extra effort on his own. In the story that Jesus tells, he says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And that's all that Jesus tells us. Jesus doesn't say he worked hard. Jesus doesn't say that he put on extra fertilizer or that he did some extra this or that or he got some really good seed. No. Jesus says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And the point of the story is this: what is your reaction? What would you do if this happened to you? In instructions to congregations in the New Testament, especially there in the letter called 1 Timothy, it says that the leadership of the church, the elders, should not be lovers of money. Lovers of money? Doesn't that pretty much cover all Americans? Who among us doesn't love money? Wonder what that means. It's in 1 Timothy 3:3. But not being a lover of money means that the love of money cannot be the Christian leader's bottom line. The will of God is the church leader's bottom line. Doing what is right and good is the bottom line of the church leader, not the weight of gold. Faithfulness is more precious than gold, the Bible says. Now, interestingly, Timothy's letter, the same letter, says that a sign of terrible times in the last days will be that people will be lovers of money. Interesting, huh? Now, we've talked a little about how things were. The real question is, how are things supposed to be? We're celebrating Easter. What does that mean about money? And people who have money, and people who don't have money. Well, we're getting a new life. That's what we celebrate at Easter. We have a new life, that thanks be to God, in and through Jesus Christ. So with a new life, we will see ourselves differently. We will see others differently. And we will treat others differently than we did when we treated them and saw them in our old lives. Give to those who beg from you. When asked for a cloak, give a coat also. Generosity is the key. Jesus said it. The apostle said it. It's 11 times in the New Testament, being generous and generosity. And it's all the more interesting that the apostle may have been speaking the word generosity to people who were already poor. And that's what Paul's letter to Corinth suggests. Paul said of those church people, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. The church in Corinth demonstrated the generosity that is a part of a new life. And it's a generosity that is not based in wealth. Generosity is not based in wealth or abundance. Generosity is based on new life. Now, one other aspect of ancient economies we often forget is the existence of slavery. And we know that there were slaves and former slaves in Paul's congregations. Paul reminds them of a truth. You were bought with a price. They certainly were. As slaves, they had a price. Some of them probably knew how much they were worth in the slave market. If any had bought their own freedom, and that was a possibility in the ancient world, you could work to buy your own freedom. Not everyone could, but some could. They realized, if they had purchased their own freedom, they realized how much that cost them to do that. Paul tells them they were bought with a price. And the price was the cost of Jesus' life. Jesus paid their price. Jesus redeemed them so they could have a new life. Peter's first letter puts it this way, 1 Peter 1:17 through 19. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, we like the word redeemed, but another word for redeemed is ransomed. You and I were ransomed, and ransoms are a price, aren't they? You give the money, you get someone back. You've paid the ransom. And when someone is ransomed, they're bought or brought back. And that's what redemption is. And the price of our ransoming was Jesus' blood. And Peter's letter in those same verses contains another detail. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you, but with the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you. We were ransomed from our old life when money meant everything. We were bought away from that old life when money meant everything so that we could live a new life. A free life, as the Apostle Paul loved to say, now that we are slaves to Jesus. Because Jesus bought us with a price. We are ransomed from our old way of life to live a new one in Jesus Christ. Amen.